Hello and welcome to this week's Oxcast Extra. I'm here with Charlie from Creation Theatre. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
No worries. So, Creation have two Christmas shows happening this year. Let's talk about the first one, Treasure Island. What's it about?
Well, I think the interesting thing about Treasure Island is that most people have a pretty vague idea about what Treasure Island might be about. So, you know, there's probably going to be pirates, and there's probably going to be a ship, an island and some treasure. It's been great to actually get into the story. So you follow Jim, short for Jemima. Jim's a girl, and she lives with her mum in an inn, and then three pirates come calling, and through that they find a treasure map. And so tagging along the town magistrate and doctor, who's a bit of a buffoon, they head to Bristol, get a ship, and go and sail for treasure.
My only experience of Treasure Island is Muppet's Treasure Island. So maybe I should come along and learn a bit more.
Yeah, that's fairly common, actually. Some people have read the book in the dim and distant past, but most people have seen the Muppet version.
Yes.
So Creation shows are never quite a straight telling. So, yeah, don't come along kind of expecting a straight up version. Hopefully it's got a bit of Muppet anarchy. It's got some songs. It's got a cannibal fight. So there should be some level of Muppet essence in it, just to make it a bit more fun.
Excellent. What made you guys choose Treasure Island?
The selection process is quite complicated. It's not a precise process, so it's a bit sort of, we liken it to like divining for water. We chuck around titles constantly all year. I'm always on a campaign for the borrowers. but everybody has their sort of pet title that they want to do. And then the stars have to align, really. So it was the same director and kind of creative team as last year's Wind in the Willows were already lined up. So it was just a case of picking something that they could kind of get their teeth into. And Wind in the Willows is lots of kind of mini scenes. Mad stuff happens and then you go somewhere else and some other mad stuff happens. So the challenge of having a really strong plot, Treasure Island has this big kind of impetus all the way through of the treasure. So it was to kind of to give that team something else to kind of to have a crack at and to take us through a really strong story with character development and all that stuff going on.
Yeah. Do you have any favourite characters?
I mean, they're all fantastic, actually. Silver is brilliant, a guy playing called Tim playing Silver, and he's exactly what you want from your kind of sort of slightly, can you trust him, can you not? And he's, you know, he's kind of this idol figure for Jim, so she really wants to look up to him. So yeah, Tim does the kind of one-legged man very well. I really love, Jim is being played by a girl called Rosie, and she's fantastic. It's such an interesting dynamic to have your Jim be a girl, because she's got that bit more to prove. She's sort of trying to be a pirate and trying to kind of take part in the adventure, and usually she ends up outsmarting everyone and kind of being the one who saves the day. But yeah, we've also got an amazing actress called Claire Humphrey, who was in R As You Like It, if anyone saw that in the summer, and was in The Wind in the Willows last year. And she's just the best character actress. She's amazing. She comes on as four different pirates in the process of the story, and every single one is different and completely mad. She has this sort of big Helena Bonham Carter hair piled up, and she's wearing a corset, and she just makes you believe in all these different weird and wonderful pirates. So yeah, they're a great team. We're kind of really lucky to have found them all, assembled them.
That's great. Outside of the show, do you have any favourite pirates from history?
We had quite a fun week in the office, actually. We kind of have this thing of scheduling Twitter top fives. So we had a good time kind of looking up all pirates of days gone by. There were some quite good examples of, back to Jim, but of female pirates who had either just been famous female pirates or had kind of stowed away and then kind of made themselves useful. So there's lots of interesting stories to draw on. I think you come out knowing more about pirates than you did when you went in. So cool. There are like lots of jokes about different kinds of knots. At one point there's a cannon fired and the pirate goes through step by step, you know, unhitch the thingy and ram home the powder. And so if you paid attention, you would come out with pirate-based knowledge. Yeah, I don't know how useful that is, but
pub quiz.
It's interesting. Yeah, maybe.
Pirate pub quiz, maybe. Great. What's special about performing in the Northwall? Because it's not the biggest of venues, but there must be something that draws Creation to perform there.
Yeah, it's a fantastic space. I mean, partly the fact that it's not the biggest of venues does give it an amazing atmosphere. Anyone hasn't been, it's kind of red brick and it's all very kind of cozy, dark red and black floor. If you know it was a swimming pool, you can see where the swimming pool would have been. So there are galleries and then the stage and the seating is kind of sunk into where the water would have been. So it's very close. There are only kind of four or five rows that aren't the front row, because you get all these front rows all round on three sides. So you kind of feel like you're peering into something a lot of the time. But yeah, it's an amazing space. It helps sometimes to have a bit of a blank canvas. Our designer can turn anything into anything, and he has this kind of this quite sort of distinctive style that everything's a bit ramshackled and kind of broken, and you know, everything is all calico and tea dye and stuff, so nothing's like bright and clean. And I think the North Wall has that kind of cozy old building feeling that works for the style of the show.
So this is your fifth production at the North Wall Arts Centre. What do you think are the ingredients needed for an amazing Christmas show?
Oh, I think anything goes in a Christmas show. It's probably a bit of a cop-out, but I think that's the genius of a Christmas show, that as long as it's fun, as long as you're expecting people to bring along everybody from, you know, Grandma and Great Auntie Marge to 4, 5, 6-year-olds who've already been watching, you know, that whole age range has seen the show this weekend. And as long as you have something that lands with all of those people, then just a sense of kind of joy and fun. And I'm quite enjoying it at the minute because it's not Christmassy. All the Christmas shows we've done at the North Wall have had a moment where there's a snowdrop or there's a little Christmas carol or there's something Christmassy, but this is just full-on adventure. So what makes it a Christmas show is that it's on at Christmas and people come with their whole family, and there's nothing particularly, it's not a story about Christmas, and yet there's something that you come as a whole family and you kind of settle down and get transported for 2.5 hours and don't think about Christmas shopping and how long the turkey's got to go in for.
What is great, though, is you do have a Christmassy show happening, Alice at Christmas, at the Mill.
Yes, yeah. We've taken Alice in Wonderland and Alice Through the Looking Glass, and it was originally performed at St Hugh's College over the summer, so it had this 4-week run in kind of beautiful college garden, and the audience all played croquet on the croquet lawn, and so it kind of sat there perfectly, and then they've kind of had a couple of months off, and it's come back to the Mill, which is another beautiful art centre right in the kind of centre of Banbury. And it's turned into a Christmas show. So it's the same story. It's the same story of Alice and her journey through Wonderland. And she meets, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee and the Cheshire Cat. And so it still follows the same plot line, but it's just been kind of lightly dusted with Christmas.
What sort of festive touches have you added?
Things like the tea party is a sort of Christmas party. So everybody, all the settings have a cracker, and there's lots of kind of shiny, sparkly Christmas things everywhere. When the characters, before they sort of enter Wonderland, there's Alice and her sister, they just have got Christmas jumpers on because it's Christmas. So yeah, there are a couple of touches in the script that were adapted. It's a couple of mentions of Banbury and some kind of sort of local Banbury mentions, and then yeah, they get a few Christmas gags in too.
And am I right in thinking there's a special afternoon tea on offer as well?
There is, yes. If you venture all the way to Banbury, 15 minutes on the train, then the Mill has a lovely cafe. It's the Old Mill Cafe. So the building is right by the canal that runs sort of through the centre of Banbury. So it's literally an old mill building. And they have this really nice kind of cafe and bar, and they do lots of events there. But yeah, they're putting on afternoon tea for us. So if you come and see either sort of before an evening show or after a matinee, the cafe will be full of people having kind of tea and scones and sandwiches, and kind of see the Mad Hatter's tea party, have your own tea party.
Sounds wonderful. So what's next for creation? Because there's a very special year coming up next year.
Yeah, well, imminently next, or it seems to us.
Yes.
Once we kind of finish Treasure Island, which is the first weekend in January, then we have a week and then we go into rehearsals for King Lear. Which will be performed in Blackwell's Bookshop. So if anyone kind of saw or was aware of our Dr. Faustus we did there in 2011.
Yeah,
so it's the same director and kind of lighting and sound designer. So we're, and the same size of cast as well. So we're kind of going for that feeling. It sort of lends itself to that kind of spooky, eerie trapdoors and flashing lights, and should be really cool. So yeah, that opens middle of February, so we get kind of straight into rehearsals for that. And one of the reasons that we're doing King Lear next year is that creation is 20, so it's part of a kind of celebration of our 20th birthday, to sort of revisit some classic creation texts and some shows and some venues that have kind of gone down in history as being people's favourite that we've done. So yeah, to go back to Blackwell's will be amazing. And then there'll be Shakespeare in the Summer and another Christmas show as well. So
exciting times. Great. So how can people get involved?
All sorts of ways. First place to go probably would be our website, and that'll tell you what's booking at the minute and anything that's kind of on sale or when it's about to go on sale. There's tickets. We also run, alongside all the shows we produce, we run an education programme. So anybody aged 5 to 16 can get very much involved, and we do weekly classes, and they put on, it's the same ethos as Creation, they take classic texts and then put their own spin on it, so they do the most adorable shows at the end of term. You can go and watch a six-year-old playing Hamlet. It's pretty cute. Edited, heavily edited Hamlet, but all the same, they get the story. We're always looking for volunteer ushers, so if you fancy seeing a Creation show more than once, which is an interesting thing to watch, I always think that that's the moment you can pick up the craft of being an actor. If you see a show once, you think that's how it is, and actually watching it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, you can see how it develops, how their kind of characters change, and how, depending on how the audience react and the mix of the audience, and it's a really interesting, if you're interested in kind of performance, then it's to watch the same show with different audiences over and over. And the way to do that with us is to come and usher, and then you come along and put people in their seats and sell a few programs and then watch the show.
Great. Just to sum up, can you just tell me where, when and how much Treasure Island and Alice at Christmas?
So Treasure Island is on at the North Wall from now until the 10th of January. Most days have matinees, and then there are evening performances either at 6 or 7:30. Tickets start at £13.50 and go up to £30. Alice is on at the Mill Arts Centre in Banbury. Again, they open today and they're on until the 2nd of January, so they've got a week shorter, and those tickets are £16.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.